We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, and the big word that stuck out to me, and it is all through this section, is seeking. And seeking means desiring to obtain or achieve, and it is an action. It is not passive. It doesn't just come. It means that we are praying to obtain. And I love that this section is given at a time when the saints, you have so many different people joining the church from all different walks of life and different backgrounds. And so what church was like for them is completely different than it was for someone else. And so you have, like the seer stone, you have people claiming to receive revelation and the Lord having to say, no, the prophet's the only one. You have people who are saying they're seeing things, they're hearing things, and then the church, the leadership of the church has moved away. And so you've got these early converts who are thinking they're having manifestations of the Spirit. Some are pretending to. And the thing I love about this is here is the statement from Elder Marion G. Romney in the student handbook that says, "The world today is full of counterfeits. It has always been so. Way back in the days of Moses, when Aaron's rod became a serpent, Pharaoh's wise men and sorcerers and magicians cast down every man his rod, and they also became serpents." And here's the thing. We know at this time, Satan so wants to destroy the church. And so he is going to do all in his power to counterfeit and confuse and get people off of these revelations that Joseph Smith is having and make them discount him and make them discount the church. And so I love that we have this. And one of the thoughts that I had is one of my favorite lessons to teach in seminary is to go through Joseph Smith history and go through verses 7 through 21, and you write across the board Joseph Smith, Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, and then Satan. And you write every descriptive word, adjective that you can find in those verses. And it's such a powerful illustration of the way Christ speaks and Heavenly Father speaks and the Holy Ghost speak and the way Satan speaks and the feelings invoked and the power that they have. And it is incredible to read and the work Joseph Smith did to seek their answer. And so this section really is that lesson that I teach in seminary. And these early members of the church didn't have that written record. Maybe they had it written. They could have done the same thing. But they were going through this for themselves, trying to learn what the Spirit sounds like, what it feels like, and what work you have to do to seek it, and what Satan sounds like and feels like. And that is just a powerful lesson. So as we go into this, the big message is that God wants everyone to be welcome into their meetings. They have been very cautious of who they invited in, probably a lot because of not knowing who's got the Spirit and who doesn't and how to discern that. So a huge message is that God wants all, that this church is for everyone. And it's Elder Holland's conference talk, "God Needs Every Voice in the Choir." I loved that talk so much. And that I think it's amazing in the world we live in. And I would say Elder Oaks's talk just in this past conference was such a lesson to me on we need to love everyone and value difference of opinion. We don't have to agree, but we need to be grateful that people have a brain and think differently so that we can learn and grow. And it just reminds me, I've said before, I thought as a young mom that God sent me 6 spirits to make them mini me's, to teach them how to be me. And it really has been over time and only the last few years that I have learned and come to recognize God gave me 6 very different spirits to teach me to be a mini him, to teach me to be refined, to teach me to be less judgmental, to teach me to be more prayerful, to be more loving, to be more accepting. And things that I used to think were so black and white, I have learned my job is to love and let God be the judge. And I am slowly, very, very slowly, learning to become more accepting and more open-hearted. And so I love that this section really, I think the message is seeking to be more like him with these gifts and seeking to be more loving. And so if we start in verse 4, the one thing I wanted to say about that is it talks about not letting anyone partake of the sacrament unworthily after it said, let everyone come. And I want to emphasize, I think I've shared this before, I have an uncle who said he had read at one time, he was in a church bishopric, you know, and really worried about how to discern whether someone was worthy or not. And the Spirit said to him, you are in charge of yourself. You should pray and ask each week if you're worthy to partake. And that so touched me. And so I really loved that. Pray to know if you are worthy. We have domain over ourselves and we can be inspired by God. And I think it's so important because I think you would hear a lot how proud God is of you, how much he loves you and how forgiving he is. Okay, verse 5, it says, and again, ye shall not cast out any in your sacrament meetings who are earnestly seeking the kingdom. Verse 6, that if there be any that are not of the church that are earnestly seeking the kingdom, ye shall not cast them out. And then jump down, verse 8, beware lest ye are deceived, that ye may not be deceived. Seek ye earnestly the best gifts. Verse 9, for verily I say to you, they are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep my commandments. And him that seeketh, so to do. And I just love that. It just is beautiful. And it's for the benefit of everyone, not prideful, not to vaunt ourselves, not to vault ourselves, excuse me, and make ourselves more than someone else, but to benefit the entire church. It's every single person has been given a gift. And I love, my parents used to always say this quote, every man is my superior in that I learn from him. Everyone has something they are better at than us that we could be benefited from, and vice versa. We have something we are better than every other person that we can benefit and share with them. It's meant to be that way. So we all learn from each other. We all need each other. We are better gathered together. And I hope that's one of the lessons that we have learned in COVID is how much we need each other. So I just love that. Okay, verse 11 says, for all have not every gift given to them, for there are many gifts, and to every man is given the gift by the Spirit of God. They come by the Spirit of God. 12, to some is given one, to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. And it's just that saying. Okay, then it goes through this long list of gifts. There's a lot more in other sections and in the Old Testament. But the one thing I wanted to say is I do love in verse 13, it says, to some is given by the Holy Ghost to know Jesus is the Son of God, and 14, to others is given to believe on their words. I really loved, my husband said on Sunday, that is just children who believe on their parents until they can know for themselves. That's all of us who believe on the leaders of our church until we know from ourselves. It's line upon line and it's a progression. And I really loved that because I know that is true in my case. Okay, 26 again emphasizes, and all these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God. They benefit everybody. They're not to make us better. It's to make all of us better. So even that person who you see as a sinner has something they can teach us. Even that person who's struggling with addiction, even that person who's gay or lesbian, all can benefit us and teach us. And I have to say, I have such a testimony that that is true. Okay, I love in 31, it says, and again, I say unto you, all things must be done in the name of Christ And that is, you have to seek in his name, and he has to be willing to give it. And then in 32, and you must give thanks unto God in the spirit for whatsoever blessing you are blessed with, and then thank him. 33, and you must practice virtue and holiness before me continually. And that is so that we are worthy of the Holy Ghost and worthy to receive those blessings should he feel it is needful at that time. There was a time when we lived in Boise, Idaho, and we had 5 small children. I think our oldest was 8. And we had been in a couple callings, and for about 6 months, I had had the strong impression that they were going to call me to be the ward choir director. Now, I have played the piano. I took piano lessons for 8 years. I took flute for 4 years, at least 4 years. I took voice. I have been in choirs. I studied music as my minor in college, and then the last year changed it to fine arts because that's a hard minor. It takes a lot of work. But I love music. I have such an appreciation for music. Now, I can sing in a choir, and I am good in a choir, but I cannot sound the way I want to sound on my own. And I do know what good music sounds like, so I don't sing on my own. And so the thought of being choir director was hugely intimidating, and my pride just kept saying, no, I can't do that. I know people who can sing great. I know people who can do music, and there are people, and there's no way I'm going to stand in front and direct a choir. I can't do that. And about 6 months, that worked on me. And one day I was reading in the New Era, and there was an article, or the Ensign, one of the two, and there was an article about the church taking these simplified hymns into third world countries and teaching these people to play them so they could have accompaniment, so they could have music. And as I read that, the Spirit said to me, are you better than them? And I thought, heavens no. And the Spirit just said, your pride, something to the effect of, then it's your pride keeping you from doing this. And so virtually the next week, just within a few days, I got the call to come in and meet with the bishop. And the bishop said to me, I don't even know if you're musical, but your name has come to me for months, and I want to call you to do the ward choir. And I just totally teared up and said, I will do it. And I want to tell you, as the Lord set me apart, as they put their hands on my head and set me apart in the blessing, it said, this will bring a spirit into your home and a gift like you have never before felt. And the minute that blessing was over, music started to come into my mind. And for the next 2 years, music flooded my head and songs came to my head, and I was able to write about 67 songs. Now, the reason you don't know those 67 songs is because that gift was for that calling. It was not for me to become a great music proficient writer of music. There are a couple of those songs that I have shared at different times for different things. But 2 years after I got that calling, I knew it was interfering and overtaking my life. It was a beautiful, beautiful gift, and I loved it. And I'm so grateful, and I loved my choir. And it really took those 6 months to look around and go, there really is no other choice. You are it. And to really let me know, okay, no one's going to be sitting here going, I could do it better. And in fact, we had a huge choir because no one was intimidated by me. They were like, ah, if Erin can do that, I can join. And it was awesome. It was such an incredible experience. And what I learned is, during that time, God truly gave me a gift. And when that time was up and time to move on, other gifts came and that gift ended. And I am extremely grateful for the knowledge I have that God can qualify us and make us so much more than we are. And I believe that with all my heart. And I'm thankful for bishops who are so inspired. and thankful for their patience. But I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know and have felt what your gifts are from the Spirit and how much our Savior loves you.